This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Patty Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women.
I can't hear you. I can see your round of applause, so it still means a lot. Please still do it, because it's all psychological, isn't it? Like, then you feel like you're at a comedy thing. I've just realized I've done my eyebrows a bit too thin. Never mind. But how are we all? Everyone all right? Just hands up in the air. Woo woo woo. I've just been doing a bit of armchair aerobics, because, you know, you're just sitting down, it's just like, let's get moving. I can see some people that came to my show on Wednesday. Thank you so much for coming back. I'm Hattie Ashdown. I am the host of Funny Mummies. I am a comedian and mum of two very, I like to call them very wild boys at the moment, particularly wild. So welcome. And we are live for the Leicester Comedy Festival. Woohoo! Let's hear it for the Leicester Comedy Festival. How exciting. Very different to my usual experiences of doing shows at Leicester Comedy Festival. I'm much more sober, but we will be back in person one day. But for now, how lucky are we that we can do this for you? So you don't want to hear me going on. We'll meet who I've got with us, our panel. So this is how it works. So let's meet who's joining me today. If you've not listened to the podcast before, each episode I'm joined by a panel of our regular funny mummies, a kind of revolving doors of women that juggle work, comedy, life and parenting. And so today, let's welcome our first funny mummy. I'm joined by regular co-host, comedian, part of the Comedy Virgins. It's powerhouse single mum of one, Gemma Beagley.
Hello. Hi, Hattie. Good afternoon.
I'm sort of doing the hype man, Gemma, but you are, you know, yeah. I can hear the applause in my head, as always.
As always, yeah. This is no different. You've just got a camera pointing at you.
Oh, no one can see my pineapples. There you go. I was trying to do a bit of decoration.
Well, I did earlier, one slipped out.
I know, they do look like a couple of pineapple testicles. Never mind. I said testicles. If you've got kids, we'll try and make it family friendly, because we are aware it's the daytime, even though I've got a tea with a nip of something in it. Anyway, cheers. Thank you, Gemma. As always, Gemma's got a raunchy picture behind her. Don't let that put you off. Let's meet our next panelist. This is her second time, so she's now officially a regular. She's a stand-up writer and podcaster. I've just made up a new word. Podcaster with Keeping Athena Company. She is the member of the BBC Comedy Room and was awarded the BBC Felix Dexter Bursary for Writers in 2020. She's had two big Edinburgh shows under her belt. She's mum of two under two. So I think you're going to have to clap loud, because she may be asleep. I mean, come on. It's Athena Kablenyu.
Hello. Hello. How's it going? I'm wide awake.
Look how awake she is. They are both under two, aren't they?
But one is just over two. She turned two in October and one's 12 weeks.
Oh my God. So she's...
Yeah, so she's shit in the bed. Oh, similar language. That's at that age. Similar language.
We're
she's
all at that right.
Age. Yeah.
Oh, she's on the... You're potty training. You're so good. Lastly, she's a comedian, writer, broadcaster. I mean, she just does it all, really. Author of the very successful How to Own the Room, which is also a chart-topping podcast. Author of five books, I believe, including Lift As You Climb, Women and the Art of Ambition, which I fully recommend, has written four plays for Radio 4, writes for every good paper, and has three children, and is very much the anchor of the show. It's Viv Groskop.
Yay.
Yeah.
Hello. I love seeing the people in the audience.
I know, it's so exciting, isn't it?
I love to play Who Would Be Best on Gogglebox. And at the moment, Kelly Jordan's house is winning that one.
I know.
Yeah, totally. You'd be like, you've nailed the audition.
Yeah.
You've thought about your background. You've got a cup of tea on the go. Yeah. I reckon there's a takeaway somewhere just off screen. Nailed it.
So before we go into the main sort of, we've got a main topic, but then we'll just go wherever we go. And we always like to do a little quick fire round at the top, because I think it's a nice way for the listeners to get to know us sort of quickly, and it warms us all up. And I always say, as mums particularly, and dads as well, you don't get to finish a sentence ever. So, you know, even though I've known a lot of you for years, I still feel like I don't really know you. So, right, what we're going to do is, I'm going to ask the question, because I've not done this on Zoom before, so let's see how it works. I'm going to ask the questions, very quick fire round. You know, like Saturday morning TV, when they used to phone up and it'd be like, what do you like, chips or mash? And then you'd say, mash. That, it's that highbrow, everyone, okay? So first one, are you FaceTime or phone call, Viv?
Phone call.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Athena?
FaceTime.
Yeah, I am as well. Gemma, I think I know your answer.
FaceTime.
Yeah, Gemma loves a FaceTime.
I love a FaceTime.
Who would be the worst person to be in lockdown with?
Oh, I say this with regret. I think it's my mum.
Really?
I think so. I think you need a break, don't you? From, you know, when you get into, I'm pushing 40 now, so you need a break. You can't be with your parents full time at this age. Yeah. You know, that
is she living with you at the moment then?
No, but I lived with her for about a year. So I moved out from her place a year ago. So I know, I've done it. Yeah, so it's evidence based.
You know what would be coming.
Evidence based, yeah.
Viv. For you.
I just got to say, the worst person.
Yeah.
Well, for you. It's my husband and I'm living it.
It cannot get any worse than it is right now.
Oh my God, we want to go back to that in a minute. Gemma, who would be the worst person?
I would say Viv's husband as well, I think.
Plan B is screwed now. I was going to fob him off on you, Gemma.
Okay. When did you last sing to yourself or someone else?
I've been singing all morning because my husband, of whom more perhaps later, or perhaps not, because it's funny mummies, isn't it? And he doesn't need to be in it. I've been singing to him a lot because his car has broken down. And every time he tries to tell me what's wrong, I just keep going, "Grease Lightning!" and singing to him just to really annoy him.
Athena, what do you sing?
All the time. So it was Paw Patrol, the theme tune, with my daughter to get her down the stairs. I said, "You've got to go to the rescue." And then we started singing Paw Patrol and she went down the stairs.
I love it. Gemma, when was the last time you sang?
All the time. It's just a constant singing. And also my son has really got into pop music. So he's picked up on a few little pop music tracks that I listen to. And so we sing together now. We're virtually Von Trapps.
I've known you for years and I didn't even know that about you, that you like singing. What was you singing the last thing? Can you remember?
S Club 7 Reach.
Oh, old school. Old
okay,
school
moving on. So I should explain for everybody, Gemma and Viv both out of the nappy phase, aren't you? You're 6-year-old and Viv, how old are you?
Well, the youngest one is 10, so that would be quite a case study.
That would be doing
nappies. I thought you were asking about me personally.
Yeah, mine are 10, 14 and 17. So when I had babies, we didn't even have nappies. We had scraps and rags.
So I'm just giving an idea of to people who, what we've got. So Gemma has one boy and he's six.
Six.
I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. And Athena is she's sort of like our star, really.
Oh, bless you. Yeah, I'm a newbie. I've got a 12-week-old and a 2-year-old. Yeah.
I mean.
The 2-year-old's on a potty training train. And it's awful. It's awful.
This is not what we're talking about, don't worry, people. But in our tech call, I saw Athena's little girl on the potty and I ran down to my husband and went, "We've got to start potty training. We've just completely forgot." He's two. So me and Viv were talking about what we could talk about today. And obviously we want to keep it light and cheer you up as much as we can. So Viv was talking to me about the topic of keeping your sense of humour in lockdown. Is it possible? Viv, do you want to explain?
Yeah, well, this is something I've been thinking about since the beginning of the pandemic, because the last thing I did the last thing I did when we were free, do you remember freedom, is I emceed a comedy gig, and it was about a week before we went into lockdown, but it was a day before I personally went into lockdown. And it was because at that gig, there was probably about 200 people. And every single comedian and everyone in the room was just making loads of jokes about the pandemic and, oh, don't, we better not shake hands and let's not breathe too hard. And I just got this really kind of weird feeling washing over me that it just wasn't funny at all.
Right.
And after that, I just went home and I cancelled everything else I had in my diary. And sure enough, a week later, we went into lockdown and suddenly we realised how serious it actually was. You know, we all lived through that moment of not taking it seriously. And then as time went on, I just began to get this really dark feeling of maybe that was the last night that anyone ever laughed. And I kept having conversations with people saying, oh, you know, lots of comedians, they must be having such a miserable time. And I was like, yes, they are. And really feeling like everybody's thinking, even the comedians are miserable and cannot laugh. Ah. And I became really fascinated by what moments are giving people belly laughs. So what are the moments where you still really laugh out loud? And more generally, and maybe like a little bit more deeply, like what do you think you can do to keep your sense of humor during this time? And I just love talking to people about that because I think it's so important. And also because aside from pandemic, I'm always really fascinated by this statistic that says it's something like under the age of 5, children laugh 200 times a day and the average adult laughs 7 times a day.
Oh, gosh.
And over the course of our lives, we just become increasingly miserable. And it's awful and we need to stop it. So I'm often thinking about, you know, what can we do to be more like kids?
Yeah.
And for me, the answer is to just keep shouting, "A great lightning!" Yes. My husband tries to tell me about his car. But again, that's another really interesting thing as well. I think it's easier if you live with people. If you live with people that you can take the piss out of and irritate, you know, the way that you are with your siblings. You know, basically, anyone who's lived with a sibling in childhood has already been in lockdown. Sibling relationship is lockdown, like that needling and that not being able to get away from them, and you know just how to make them laugh and you know just how to torture them. So I think that's kind of easier for people who are familiar with that sibling relationship or people who live with people. You know how to make them laugh. But I know friends that live alone and they're just like trying to make themselves laugh.
Yeah,
it's not so easy.
That's the struggle.
So wanting the tips.
Athena, have you got anything? Or should
this is how you can make yourself laugh. And unfortunately, it only works if you live with someone. But basically, watch somebody you live with learn to do something they can't do. It's hilarious. And be unsupportive about it. Like, be really unsupportive for your own humour. So, like I would say, I live with someone who isn't a very good cook. And his treat for me, it would be egg and beans. And egg and beans is literally scrambled egg with baked beans. And that's hilarious to me. Like, I make myself feel like such a big person by going, I can make roti. is that? So yeah, basically laugh at your partner at trying to better themselves. And also look, get a toddler. I think I might hire my toddler out because toddlers are hilarious. They're ridiculous. Yeah. They wet their pants. They walk into walls. they pick their nose and flick it everywhere. They're extraordinarily fussy with their food, but they, it makes no sense what they will and won't eat. You know, like my child will eat fish fingers, but she won't eat goujons. I'm trying to raise a middle-class child. Do you know what I mean? How is this? What, these are goujons and fish fingers are the same thing, but they're called goujons. Eat them.
Yeah.
Right?
I hate the way they can tell the difference. When we used to go out and we go, what can we order them? And you're in some kind of semi-posh restaurant. You're like, goujons are like fish fingers. And they know. And I'm there trying to cut it into a line. And
there's a herb here, mummy. What's the herb doing?
Well, I wouldn't say... sound awful saying my, you can, anyone can have my 2-year-old for belly laughs. I think he was in the first lockdown, but like now we're going through some weird, he's really aggressive at the moment. So I don't know. We were talking about this last night. We were saying like sometimes you're just so in it and like he's pulling out stuff and he's breaking stuff and he's biting stuff and you're just, and then the other one's going, "Mommy, my iPad won't work," or whatever. And you're so in it and you know, especially you feel like, "I'm a comedian, I'm fun, mum." But I'm like, find the fun. How can we sort of laugh at this? And we know later on we will look back and laugh. But I must admit, sometimes I've struggled to find the fun in that moment. But I think just big belly laughs have come from TV. And I mean, recently, not to sort of plug my own sort of stuff really, but I honestly have really enjoyed doing some of the Zoom gigs and seeing my peers and what they've been going through and what they're writing and stuff. Because for a long time, for comedians, I think it was people were panicking, going, "I know I should be writing stuff, but I feel so unmotivated." And so I think maybe, I don't know whether you agree with me, but cracks are starting to change a bit and you're starting to write stuff. So, yeah, I've been enjoying that. I'll keep thinking. Gemma?
Well, I am alone. You know, there are no other adults. I don't live with any other adults. And so I have to, I can't really entertain myself. I'm not really, I think I used to be able to, but I don't anymore. And so, you know, I follow social media accounts that make me chuckle, stuff like it's really, but like art history memes and stuff like that. Just silliness, you know. And I just talk to people a lot. And what I tend to do, in fact, I did this the other day where I sat with somebody and I just moaned and just tried to just be really extreme in my moaning just to try and get some laughs out of it. Because as well, is that I don't perform anymore. You know, with a light shining in my face on stage, exactly. I am. I. You know, I like to have an audience. I'm a show off. Living alone or living with a 6-year-old who doesn't quite get my like nuanced, sophisticated humor. No, he's an idiot. And so I'm. You know, I'm missing the office. I'm missing the audience, and so I have to look outwards. You know, and so that means getting on a Zoom call and annoying people with kind of listen to what I've got to say, I'm more angry than you and here's why, and you know, so yeah, I just have to look outwards, really reach out. I can't entertain myself.
What would you say it's brought you close? I know this is another subject anyway, but it just made me think, because I know everyone sort of at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a lot of like, oh, you know, you can get closer to your children, have these special moments. But I've noticed you, Gemma, say stuff like, you know, you and Al, who's only 6, watching like Bake Off together, which I think is so sweet. And you're like, so do you think it's got you close together in that way?
It has. I mean, it's difficult. I don't want to use the word grooming because it's a horrible word now. But like in terms of his humour, so I remember because I've lived here nearly a year, just before lockdown, I moved into this house, the two of us. And I taught him what sarcasm was, you know. So every time I was sarcastic, I'd point it out like it's kind of like potty training, Athena, but sarcasm training. So it's just like, that's it, you do, this is where you do sarcasm. And so.
Did you?
Yeah. So I'm kind of in this kind of pushy art, drama school mum way. I'm trying to kind of get him to be this little sort of acerbic, sarcastic little prick. Really, it's kind of, I'm getting there. Yeah, I'm trying to get my own little comedian that I can come on perform for me.
Gemma, boy. Though he has done the most brilliant example of silent humour ever known to the universe.
He did, yeah. So while Hattie and Viv and I were doing a podcast together on this. There was this banging from upstairs, and I was like, sorry, girls, I've got to go and see what he's up to. And he'd somehow managed to get a dustbin lid over his head and just had one arm stuck. And I didn't know what to do because I'd never, anyway. So Viv was kind of the experienced one among us, was shouting, "Put some washing up liquid on him," and we the three of us managed to get.
I so regret not recording it. I don't know why we don't record it.
You got your son got stuck in a bin.
Brilliant.
In a bin. He got, yeah, he was stuck in a bin.
It's so funny because that was a while ago now. And in my head, I've completely dramatized it and I upgraded the bin lid to a toilet seat in my mind.
Yeah.
Maybe
a toilet seat's funnier. I don't know what's funnier, a toilet seat or a bin.
It looked like one of those nappy bin lids. That's what it looked like to me. Someone's put Karen's put surely with young kids it's baby shark. My youngest has just started. He literally went to nursery like one day and he came back and he's because I've not exposed the baby shark, but now he's like baby shark doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And it is quite cute at the beginning.
I'm pretty sure that's all they do at nursery, by the way. We're paying all this money, isn't they just
I know,
sitting down.
Don't.
My daughter knows theme tunes of shows we don't watch. So she's
well like EastEnders. She's going They're putting them in front of EastEnders.
But yeah, I'm just thinking, what are we paying for? Just like Netflix subscriptions, you know, so they can just park the kids in front of the telly.
I feel like, you know, like every area mum have got like gossip about nurseries. Now, I'm not going to say obviously where. And there was one nursery that people go, well, don't send them there. I've heard the girls all watching Desperate Housewives when they should be looking after the kids. And you're like... be watching something worse, couldn't they, really? I mean, I don't know. Athena, do you think it's been a... Because you've been, as well as having a newborn baby, you've been writing and stuff. Do you think it's been, you know, unmotivating to be...
I'll be honest with you. I had a kind of a different view on lockdown. It was really handy for me when it started. Ah. Because at the time, I was not earning a lot of money at the BBC. No shade to them, but they weren't paying me a lot. And most of my money was going on travel and childcare. And what were the two things you didn't have in lockdown? One, childcare and travel. So my mindset was like, amazing. I can now live a sustainable life, which my life was very unsustainable at the start of last year, like financially. So my brain, rather than thinking, okay, I'm at home with a two-year-old and I've got to somehow fit my work around her, I just thought, yay, I'm not going to go bankrupt. And that made me, you know, find pockets of the day to work. And she'd done just enough time at childcare to get into a nap routine because she never used to nap with us, right? And then we sent her to childcare January, February, and then came out of childcare with a nap. And I was like, it's almost like I prayed for the pandemic. This might all be my fault, guys. So I kind of had a really positive outlook on me not on the whole thing. The whole thing's awful. But on me personally, I was like, well, I'm at home. I'm not spending money. And I write for a living now. This is all I do. So this can work for me. And I was lucky enough to kind of work through it. But at the same time, it wasn't easy. There was, you know, it's a handful. You've got, you know, she's at that age where she's a time bomb. You know, it's a time bomb. Everything is like, you are 5 minutes away from doing something life-threatening. Okay, we reset the timer. Okay, another 5 minutes. Okay, reset the timer, another 5 minutes. So there's to deal with as well. But there you go. That's just how it is. I got pregnant as well. So that helped.
Yeah, that helped. Yeah, but we didn't know you were secretly pregnant when we first met you on Zoom, as it were. Have you found it? Because I feel, and I might be wrong here, and you might go, oh, thanks. But I felt, because you're always very positive on the social media, but there was a period where I felt you seemed not depressing. You weren't coming on going, oh, I'm so depressed, but you were just slightly... Look at me. God, I'm trying to be sensitive here.
Yeah, well, I've definitely...
Was there a point where you felt not motivated?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how deep you want this to go, but...
No, let's not...
I mean, I'm generally somebody who's quite up and down in their mood, and this has been a really challenging time for me.
Because you like to stay at home with your husband a lot.
Yeah, well, I don't really like being at home very much. I'm not an outdoorsy person, God forbid. I mean, I grew up in the countryside, that was awful. But I like going outside of the home. And I like going to other indoor spaces that aren't my home. Yeah, that's basically what I live for. I live to go to indoor spaces that aren't my home. And currently that is banned. So that has been really difficult. And as Athena was talking, I was thinking, well, yes, this is a problem. Athena has been living my lockdown. Athena Kablenyu stole my lockdown and she stole my baby. Because I can't think of any better use of a pandemic than to get pregnant and have a baby. And you know, you've done, got the timing exactly right. You must have literally got pregnant the first night of lockdown, Athena. And this is the perfect use. And I have moaned to my husband quite a lot about this. Like, this would have been a perfect time to have a newborn. Where were you?
I mean, it's not much of a foreplay, moaning at your husband's so much of a...
I'm too old to have a baby, basically, and my husband is not up for it, and I don't really believe in enforced insemination. I've done quite a lot of research, and it's just too much. Just too much effort. More seriously though, I think I don't hardly know anybody who's thrived in this time. You know, for some people, there's been some sort of conjunction of their life circumstances and the reduced circumstances of the pandemic that makes it a bit more bearable. But that's like really, really low bar of happiness. But I think, yeah, you're right what you're saying earlier though, Hattie, that I think that we are coming to some sort of new hopeful moment. I think we've got used to having our expectations quite low, and that's a good place. And so the next time we're allowed to do something like put one foot inside the door of a pub, we'll be really, really excited.
Well, in terms of comedians, and this might just be like a really boring conversation to anyone else, but I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed, a lot of comedians wouldn't do Zoom gigs and things. And now they're slowly starting to go, I don't know if it's just panic of like, oh, maybe we will be like this for a little while. They are starting to do them. Or they're choosing to do, you know, funny TikToks and all that kind of thing, which, talking about belly laughs, who did I want to recommend? Oh, Daisy May Cooper, absolutely hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I love her stuff.
On Instagram and TikTok. Simon Bodkin's been doing amazing little videos. But, yeah, I think that we are being forced to sort of change our medium. And
think about the last, I suppose, natural global crisis being, let's just say, the Second World War. I mean, I think the music halls were still open during the Second World War, you know, and so there were still, people were still able to go out and have a right old knees up or whatever they would have done in the 40s, you know.
And they could hug, Gemma. They could hug.
But there was lots of stuff that people, like socially, that people could do, you know, during the war. And it just, I feel sorry for all those egos, basically. You know, I feel sorry for all those egos that just haven't been able to do their thing. And also, how do you generate material if you're not experiencing anything? You're basically being asked to, and I'd be interested to hear how Athena's doing it, really. It's just, you know, if you're not experiencing anything, what are you, how, you know, it's just generating material out of nothing.
It's really funny, like, again, having two young children means you're every day there is a little something that happens.
Adventure,
just,
yeah.
You keep a little mental note of it. So that's one of the ways, like, just that keeps everything quite fresh. But you're right, the biggest challenge for writing lockdown comedy is that everyone's in lockdown. So how do you make a joke about going for a run every day? Everyone's making a joke about that. How do you make a joke about queuing up in a car park outside Tesco's? Everyone's doing it, right? So it's definitely challenging to find subject matter. And that's horrible. Like, you do it, because I'm doing lots of Zoom gigs, and I sweat, like, I just want all comedians to get used to them, because I think they're not going anywhere.
Do you especially enjoy it? Do you enjoy it?
I do. I love them. I love Zoom gigs because I love banter. And on Zoom gigs, you get to see people's living rooms. So what's better than looking at someone's curtains and going, they're shit? You know, it's hilarious to me. So I love, in a nice way, obviously. But I love the banter. I love going into people's homes and chatting to them and getting to know them and then getting into my jokes. That's my happy space. And lots of comedians don't like that. I get it totally. But excuse me, I just need to stick a breast in someone's mouth.
Talking horse.
She always says that.
Even before she had kids.
Tackled by a baby.
Talking of audience, this is your opportunity. If anyone would like to ask us something or something they'd like us to discuss, put it in the comments now.
Noticed that everybody on this call is prepared for Athena. Not a single person has an inch of curtain showing.
Everyone's found the plain wall
to protect themselves from the wrath and the withering criticism of Athena.
Oh, she would have.
She's like the Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen of comedy gigs.
Can I tell you what I saw the other day at a Zoom gig? Totally true. It was somebody who had a sofa bed, right? There was a couple, but the sofa bed was unfolded and they were lying on the bed. And I was like, and the camera was elevated above them. So they quite clearly filmed themselves doing it on that couch. That's what I love. Just like, you know, there's only one reason for your camera to be so high up, and there's only one reason for that bed to be unfolded. You want the show out the way, and then you're getting down. And that's brilliant. I love it.
Athena, I think I've seen them. I think they're going around doing all the Zoom gigs. I think I know who you're talking about.
Of course. No, everybody just feels sick now.
In terms of the TV thing,
so like what, and I'm trying to think about the big hits that we've had over the last 12 months.
Yeah, anything you recommend, stuff. Jen?
I can't think of anything that it's all been drama, I think.
Oh, no, no.
Rather than comedy.
No.
My daughter just said to me, as I was coming upstairs just now, she said, "Mom, I'm so stressed. What are we going to do? There's no more Masked Singer. What are we supposed to do with our lives?"
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, yes! It's Saturday and there's no Masked Singer. So some of those, like water cooler TV, like Strictly, Masked Singer, Appointment TV, I've been really into in a way that I never have before. I never watched The Masked Singer because I'm not usually at home. God, The Masked Singer is brilliant.
Yeah, and how nice is Glenn Hoddle? He's so nice. Because he was always my favourite England manager. I think in the past 10, 15 years, maybe 20, I'm old, he's 20 years old. Anyway, past few England managers, he's the best one. And then it turns out he's Grandfather Clock. Lovely guy as well.
It's adorable. Brilliant.
Me and Gemma don't want to talk about
I just, has everyone forgotten why he got fired? There's no one remember.
It was something to do with his faith healer, wasn't it? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know this. What does he do?
He said something along the lines of that people were, if people are reincarnated, and if they're bad in a previous life, they come back disabled. Like, it was just
The reincarnation thing. Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, I don't bloody forget, mate. I tell you, Grandfather Clock or not, I saw him. He took that thing off and I went, oh, look at him. He's made a recovery.
Just like, what's her name? The Geordie one, you see. We don't forget that with Ern.
Cheryl Cole.
We've not forgot.
Oh, the toilet incident one. The attendant.
We'd never forget. We don't forget. Me and Gemma, we hold a grudge.
You've ruined The Masked Singer for me now.
Sorry.
What, he seems happy to be there.
Lockdown comfort, and you've taken it away.
Viv, you're an insider. You know people. You're well connected. Was it all filmed in one week?
I don't know very much about this, but I have investigated this topic. I don't really have any insider information, but I have tried to dig around it. Yes, I think it's filmed in maximum a week.
Right.
And they will schedule it so that whoever they've got who costs the most money, probably Joss Stone. I hope nobody's got it on catch up because I've just been into for them, but too bad. Whoever costs the most money, they're going to film around them.
Insider secret. Maybe we want more.
And I suspect that the stylists who worked on that show, especially the stylists for Rita Ora and Davina McCall, I mean, they must have had to be doing like 10 outfit changes in a day.
Yeah.
To get them through all of the filming. But yeah, it will be filmed because, you know, Morten Harkett, he's not going to give more than 3 days to that, is he?
No, I mean, he barely gave 5 minutes, really. I mean, that is someone who's lacking in character and personality.
Oh, I adore him. He's my, like, real husband.
For young
people watching, this is Morten Harkett of AHA. I love him. But he's really interesting because he absolutely hates performing. And usually when he's on stage, he stands to the side or he stands almost with his back to the audience. And he said after The Masked Singer, he said, I can't do a Norwegian accent. I have learned something really important. I must learn to listen to other people about their technical systems because I insisted on using my own technical system on the headphones inside Viking and I could not hear anything.
Yeah, I mean, that man is really, really boring, isn't he? That's a very dull thing to say.
God. We don't need him to talk, guys.
He's dressed as a Viking, and that's all he can say, you know.
I didn't watch it this time. I watched the first series, but my husband on this lockdown has gone a bit, which if people have seen me talk before, he's gone a bit bloody weird this time. He's got into making music. He's making electro synth music.
He's made a whole... my partner. He's making music.
Is he?
And I'm...
What is this? And he's made a whole album now. He's got a whole, Bandcamp. And... you know, as I always say to people, just, you know, and he can also do it on his mobile phone, so there's no escape. He'll be in the bathroom and you can hear this. There's nothing more repetitive than electro synth. Just remember that when he's trying to find the drop. He's like, boom, 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 boom. And I was like, so just remember, there's always someone worse off than you. But this is his... this is his new love now. So, before... first lockdown one was a lot better for me, just putting that out there. You know, we had Tiger King. I even bought Tiger King garden chairs. We sat in the garden. We had cocktails because it was summer, wasn't it? I feel like I'm rating holidays here. But yeah, that was our event. You know, the Tiger King was, it's nice to have that event program, but we sort of haven't had that this time. I was watching Married at First Sight Australia, but on my own. And I'm not watching the latest series. I decided to go right back to series four when at one point they talk about, it's so old, they talk about Trump. They're going, and one really wrong guy was like, yeah, I think Trump should get in. And I was like, sorry, I can't do Australian accent. Yeah, I think Trump should get in. So that's how far back. But everyone else is watching the president. But it's so addictive. And although it's not a comedy, obviously it is a comedy because it's hilarious. And I was traumatized when it finished, like you say, with Masked Singer, because I was like, I invested in these people. And then it's just, then they go away. And you're like, you know, it's because you're missing socializing. That's who I was. My husband didn't watch with me, but he said he enjoyed my digress afterwards when I come to bed at 12 a.m. And I go, well, this one's, you know, I thought they were going to stay and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I'm living my best life. I know Viv and Gemma are really comfortable with talking about this sort of thing. I don't know where Athena stands on this, but I was thinking about, because now I feel like things have moved on to, and this might be just be talking to my sisters, that they, it's not just about comedies, they want to, as my sister calls it, well, I was watching this program the other day and it got my loinage going.
Do you think I'm going to be really comfortable talking about this?
No, you're not, because you and Gemma never want to talk about sexy things.
I want to talk about this. I've got one word, Bridgerton.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, no, I'm with you then, there. I'm right. So, I mean, literally, that guy, what's his name? His name is even like something like...
it's like Rene. Rene Rocky or something.
You're talking about the Duke. Oh,
yeah, Simon.
Honestly, there might be triplets in me right now. Do you know what I mean? We might be...
just from watching him.
Just from it, yeah. Literally just through the osmosis through the screen. Bridgerton is like quite a horny show. I was surprised actually by how. And what I've realised is, I was talking about this on my part the other day, there's just a lot of quite explicit sex in TV these days. I don't know why it is. And I think it's because everything's streaming. People don't have to worry about the watershed. They'll just assume that you're old enough to watch it and they want to make it kind of titillating, I guess. Because it's almost like some of the scenes are quite almost like porn. I was like, even I was a bit...
that spoon work, come on.
Oh my gosh. Like, you know, yeah, I was like blushing a little bit at some of the stuff they was doing. And sometimes I was taking notes too. I was like, oh yeah, okay, let me write this down.
baby number three.
But I've noticed just generally, like, particularly with the streaming shows, they've not been shy, have they? They've been, you know, with the camera angles and stuff.
Well,
did you watch Euphoria? Euphoria is the one that won those Emmys. You know, that's quite explicit.
I'm writing that down now.
Write that one down.
I know, Gemma, that you loved a bit of Ordinary People. And that
Normal
was
People. Normal People.
What was it called?
Normal People.
That was it, not Ordinary People. Normal People. If people haven't seen it, that was BBC, you know, sort of started off with their teenage lovers, and that was a bit loinage, wasn't it?
We saw it, really, yeah. saw a Willy in there.
What, well, Willy, yeah.
If you watch Euphoria, like, I've never seen so many Willys. Like, and like, I generally don't have a huge amount of experience kind of like racially. It was a whole, all of the colours of the rainbow. I was like, wow. I had no idea. I settled down too early. I didn't go out and like taste all the flavours of the ice cream. but Euphoria was great for someone like me who lacks experience in that field. Right. So it's educational, it's scientific more than anything. But the, yeah, the, in normal people, you just see the one. So that's, you know, gets like a, it's like a star rating, one Willy. Euphoria is like 25. Like, honestly, every episode has a, an array of them. It's quite extraordinary how they managed to find an excuse.
What is this? Where's this program on? Is it?
It's on. We watched it on Sky. Oh. It's on Netflix. We watched it on Sky. So it might be on like Now TV and all them ones.
This was Zendaya, right?
Yes, Zendaya. Yeah. Zendaya's in it, yeah.
People, a lot of people have told me to watch it. I haven't watched it.
It is great, but lots of naked bodies, lots of sex.
That's obviously what a lot of people have told me to watch it. Yeah.
So we're going to wrap up soon, ladies. Let's have a look, see if there's anything anyone said that's... anything you want to big up that you're doing, of course, online, because we just don't know when we're going to be in person.
I've got a show on the 26th of February, which is Friday, and it's a fundraiser, and it's called Library Laughs, and it will be brilliant, I promise you. And this is me leaning into online comedy. I'm putting on my own show. I'm just leaning into this new future and this new normal, or this current normal, whatever. I'm leaning into online comedy. So if you find me on social media and look for Library Laughs, you can find stuff about it.
So it's a Zoom gig.
It's a Zoom gig, and it's online, it's improv, it's comedy. I'm doing a little mini version of my podcast, so see how that goes. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. So I'm just raising money for a project my friend runs, and I was like, no, look, whilst I'm not performing, let me use my energy to do something, to support two things that I love, which is comedy and my friend's project. So yeah, check that out if you like. Lively Laughs, just find me on social media and look for Lively Laughs.
Definitely. Emma, anything or anyone? We don't have to promote ourselves.
Yeah. So Cavendish Charms, David Shirley, who are on today, they are still absolutely banging the drum for new acts, open mic, doing stuff online on Facebook Live. They're now hiring out a whole team of people at an hourly rate that where you can comedians can go and record their content. And have somewhere to perform. So yeah, follow them on social media and get involved.
I fully recommend it's
Cavendish Arms, Stockwell, Comedy Virgins.
Yeah. Very professional. Viv's probably got nothing.
shout out to my podcast, How to Own the Room, which is conversations mainly with women. There are some men there too, though, about confidence, performance. It's got some interviews with people like Mira Sayal, Catherine Tate, Katie Brand. It's got Mel Gibbons.
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton. She was full of the laughs. but I want to give a massive comedy recommendation to Josie Long's show, which is coming on March the 9th. And she's doing a show through Royal Winchester Theatre. So if you look up Josie Long or Royal Winchester Theatre, you'll see her show, and she's one of my favourites. And she's a mate of yours, Hattie.
She's been on this podcast a lot, and I honestly recommend anyone to go back and listen to our last episode we did with her, which was on TV Mums, which was hilarious. But yeah, there's such great stuff online. There's no excuse to be sad, people. There's no excuse to be sad. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining. Woohoo! We did it! We did it! Thank you, girls. This will also be shared as a podcast, so if you want to listen to it again or share it with your friends, it will. Bye-bye! Thank you so much!
Watch more stuff on Leicester.
Oh, yes! Keep watching the rest of the stuff on Leicester Comedy Festival. There's some great stuff coming up. Even today, loads of podcasts. Okay, bye! You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with The Other Woman Show with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to Gemma Beagley and our guest today. Please see the write-up in this episode to find out how you can follow us and our guest online. This show is edited by Alex Holland, recorded via Zoom. The show also goes out on Thursdays on Soho Radio as part of The Other Woman Collective, where often you can hear the full music version of the show. If you'd like to support us and get lots of goodies, like a video version, we can see our mugs,
go to Funny Mummies on Patreon, where you can buy us a coffee or maybe an hour's childcare. Thanks very much for listening. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. It really, really does help. We'll see you next time for a dose of Mum and Tonic.